adventure games. What are your top three?
What are your go-to games when you want to relax?
Hey, Derp, want to go on an adventure?
Absolutely, but first...
let's get those cogs turning.
Gaming news of the week.
Derp, we got a lot of news this week.
We do, actually.
A lot of news.
You know what is not on our Cogcast this week?
What's that?
Rumors and speculations. Or did we actually find a rumor?
I heard there was a rumor that we might have a rumor, but it turns out it was a rumor and it was false and we don't have anything.
Okay, so we do not have a rumor and speculation this week. Damn it, Blue. You started a session, and the second we say something about it becoming a session, it loses a session.
Hey, as soon as we get a rumor, I got a section for it. It's there just in case.
Noted.
But guess what?
Gaming news of the week.
Some asshole leaked the entire story of The Last of Us 2 and posted it on YouTube. How do you like them apples?
Well, I was so upset that I had to take a drink, then try and talk while I was taking that drink.
Good job. Good job. Yeah, supposedly somebody decided to up the leaked story of the whole Last of Us 2, and all of a sudden I just see articles for it all over the internet. You want to know what I did?
What'd you do?
Nothing. I immediately kept scrolling and saying, well, I don't need to read that.
Good.
I don't want to be spoiled.
Would you like me to read the statement by Naughty Dog?
Yes, yes. Naughty Dog decided to say something about it. What did they say, Derp?
And by Naughty Dog.
We know the last few days have been incredibly difficult for you. We feel the same. It's disappointing to see the release and sharing of pre-release footage from development. Do your best to avoid spoilers, and we ask that you don't spoil it for others. The Last of Us Part 2 will be in your hands soon. No matter what you see and hear, the final experience will be worth it. Naughty Dog.
Well said, Naughty Dog. Well said. Good for you. Good for you for addressing it, and you are right. I just kept scrolling, I ignored it, and I don't know shit, so I'm not gonna spoil it, because I don't know anything.
But you know what you do know? The fucking release date, baby.
Yeah, that's right. Days after they made that statement, they said, hey, you know what? It's coming out. Oh yeah? When's it coming out? Derp, when's it coming out?
June 19th.
Yeah!
So, I was close. Originally, originally on a couple... two or three podcasts ago, I said it would be within a month.
Yeah, you did.
It's a little over a month. So I was sort of wrong, but I was like, dude, the game's pretty much done. When they are ready and they can get it out to everyone, it's going to be around a month. And yeah. It's a little over a month, but it's really close to what originally it was going to be.
And you know what that means, Derp?
More sadness?
No. Congratulations! You were right!
Yay! Oh, shit. That never happens.
All right.
Unless it involves you.
You heard it from here, guys. You heard it from here at first. From Derp Taku. He said it himself. Boom. And it's here.
You know what, though? You know what wasn't right?
What's that?
We had to make mention of the fact that all of the things that you wish for come true. You know what we didn't get this week?
What?
An Extreme G Collection update.
We did not, and I'm okay with that. I still put it out there in the universe, and who knows? If it does happen, I still called it, just so you know. you can't take that away from me. It's too late. It's too late. I called
it. Too late.
I can always replay the games, but what are you going to do? Guess what, though, Derp? Guess what?
What?
Sony found out who the culprit was, who leaked it.
Oh.
They would not say who it was because, quote-unquote, investigations are pending, but they have confirmed it is not somebody who worked for Naughty Dog, which is interesting. So whoever got this information to leak it stole some shit.
Stole it, or they were able to get the info from someone at Naughty Dog.
It's possible.
Just because they didn't work at Naughty Dog doesn't mean they didn't get the information from somebody at Naughty Dog. But I do love Naughty Dog, so I don't want to put them down. But, I mean, it is always possible that there is a corrupt person within the company that will leak the information.
Very true. But Sony says investigations are pending, and they were trying to be like, don't worry guys, we got it, we're on it, it's coming out the 19th of June. Congratulations.
And just so you all know, the digital download of the game will be required at 100 gigabytes of hard drive space.
The digital download is 100 gigabytes. You realize this is the future, right? All games going forward is going to be required at least a minimum of 100 gigs.
Which I am fine with. It just means that...
Make bigger hard drives.
I'm going to have to replace the hard drive in the PS5 before I even buy a PS5. I can already tell.
No, I doubt it. I doubt it. Because you're an all-physical bitch anyways.
For the most part. I did buy Final Fantasy VII and Resident Evil 3 digitally. Because I had to.
For reasons.
Yeah, COVID reasons. I couldn't get it physically because everything was closed. And I'm okay with that, but I still had to delete some stuff off my hard drive in order to make it fit.
And, which also means a physical copy of the game will feature those discies.
Yeah, Last of Us 2 is going to be featuring two discs for the physical edition, just like Red Dead Redemption 2. And I'm still okay with that, because at least it saves some of my hard drive space.
So, Blue, I'll let you go ahead and take the next one, as this was announced. What else was announced for a release date?
Ghosts of Tsushima. PlayStation announced both The Last of Us 2 release dates and Ghost of Tsushima at the same time. Ghost is coming out July 17th, 1 month after The Last of Us Part 2.
I'm so happy.
I am too. I was wondering if they're going to push both of these games to the PlayStation 5 launch, but they're not. And that's exciting because we can enjoy them on current-gen consoles if we choose to.
So I'm more excited for this game than I am Last of Us Part 2, and for the reason that I still have never beaten the original.
Last of Us?
Yeah. I think I'm about halfway through, though.
I'm considering a replay. I've already beaten it a couple times before. It's a great game. But I have
the remastered version.
Me too. I have it on the PS4, and I have the original on the PS3, because reasons. I don't know. I like collecting stuff. I'm sorry.
But the only thing is I know what happens at the end of the game. So...
Yeah. So it's about the journey, you know, if you get there, great. But I'm not going to lie, Last of Us 2, I'm probably going to be excited as soon as it comes out. But I'm actually more excited for Ghost of Tsushima because,
Did you see that trailer? Yeah. The era, for one. Two, it's Sucker Punch. And I love the Infamous games, which I didn't realize are actually in the Seattle area. That's why the game was based in Seattle.
Yeah. But I will say, when it comes to Ghosts of Tsushima, it's a beautiful-looking game. I'm more excited about that because it's something new. Last of Us Part 2 looks gorgeous, and I'm excited to see where the story goes next. But the Ghosts of Tsushima, dude.
It's beautiful.
I've been looking forward to that game since they announced it.
It looks so beautiful.
Feudal Japan, one of the most best graphics I've ever seen. Some of the best lighting I've ever seen. It is a beautiful-looking game.
The look of the fields as the grass is swaying when it's... with the wind and oh, so beautiful. Then, speaking of gaming releases, THQ Nordic announced the Destroy All Humans remake is releasing July 28th in a new reveal trailer for the game, which I did watch that trailer and it looks like fun. And it's actually pretty. Like, the remake is pretty.
It may be a remake, but oh my god, I that game looks fun.
On April 29th, Ubisoft teased something new for the Assassin's Creed franchise in a live stream event on YouTube. Artist Boss Logic digitally painted a piece of art to showcase what the game could be. After he was finished, it was announced that a teaser trailer for the game would be released the following day, April 30th. Ubisoft debuted a beautiful-looking CGI teaser trailer for the next game called
Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
We're going to be roaming through the Viking Age, baby.
It's going to be great. Did you see that trailer?
Yes.
Dude, okay, it's been a while since I got that excited for an Assassin's Creed game, and I cannot wait to sink my teeth into this one.
I've gotten Origins via free pickup. It came with something, and I got it.
Nice.
It actually encouraged me to get Odyssey, too.
Awesome.
I have Odyssey now because it was only, you know, $40 for the entire everything in DLC, which is normally $120.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, it was $40 for the $120 package.
Nice.
So I picked up and I started playing it, and it's very cool. I like the way the new Assassin's Creeds are going, but I dropped Assassin's Creed after 3, and I didn't even play the other in-between ones like Revelations and all that stuff. I just played 1, 2, and 3.
There's a lot of the games in the series that I missed out on, too. I played a huge chunk of them. I played 1, 2, 4, Unity, half of Syndicate. I played a good chunk of Origins. I think Origins was a good refresher of the series. They started changing a few things around. It's the same director as Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, and I think that's why I like a lot of Origins, because there's elements in there that remind me of Black Flag.
And everyone seemed to like Black Flag. Like, I haven't gone all the way through, because I don't know, it's something about the Assassin's Creed games. I like 2 and 3, but I don't know. I've never fully immersed myself in them.
I immersed myself in quite a few of the games, and it made me go back to others. So when I played 4, after that I went to 3. And I absolutely liked 3 because of 4 in time-wise. So Assassin's Creed 4 timeline takes place before Assassin's Creed 3. So after I played 4, I wanted to jump into 3 just to, you know, see what I missed. In terms of gameplay, there are similar elements, including the sailing function. But in Assassin's Creed 4, even though it technically came out obviously after 3, in 4 it's a full-blown open-world sailing game. In 3, they implemented some of the sailing features, but it wasn't as open world as 4 was, and they implemented some of the battle features. So I can see a difference between both games, which is really cool, but story-wise, that they're all connected with the characters and stuff, which is really cool. And then I played Assassin's Creed Rogue, which plays like a combination between 4 and 3, but story-wise, in the present day, it takes place after 4. It's just so damn fun. But then after that, it kind of just fell off for me, and Unity was okay. Syndicate didn't grab me. I feel like the gameplay settings, the locations of the time periods, need to grab me. Origins is ancient Egypt. That grabbed me immediately, and I spent a lot of hours in that game. But the game is so damn huge, I haven't been able to finish it because it's just so overwhelming, and there's so many side quests and so many things you can collect. I want to finish Origins before I get to Odyssey, but now Valhalla's coming out, and I'm very excited for that. But I read today that Valhalla is going to be connected with both Origins and Odyssey in some way. So that makes me want to replay the other two.
See, Origins, I didn't install and start playing. I just installed Odyssey and started playing the other day because, honestly, Ancient Egypt isn't my go-to for a time frame. I'm not super interested in it. But when it comes to Odyssey, that's Greek mythology and Spartan mythology. You know, it has a lot of the Zeus like that. That stuff interests me. Like Cyclopses, you know, just mythological beasts of that era.
But that's also what makes Assassin's Creed as a series, as a franchise, so appealing. There is something for everybody. If you're interested in a specific type of history, then there is an Assassin's Creed game for you. And if you play that one game and it grabs you and you love it and it makes you want to explore others, even if it may not be your forte, it will still bring you even more, just a grander vision of this entire franchise. And it's so cool to watch it unfold in front of you. That's why I love this series. So I'm all for Valhalla. It looked fucking cool.
Yeah, no, Valhalla looks... Dude, I'm all for Valhalla. Give me
I love
that Norse
the
mythology,
Viking age.
The Vikings,
I love...
give me everything. I'm okay with it.
Exactly. Exactly. I can't wait.
God of War said, Greek mythology, let's go Norse.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? I heard there was a ratings leak in the country of Brazil.
Yeah, I actually found this and posted it in Discord the other day. Apparently, the rating leak was leaked in Brazil for Cyberpunk, and it is going to be an 18-plus game. And where's that quote? I know there was a quote that came along with it. Yeah, I found it. It's like retweeted and said in some things. It's like, you're surprised? We don't fuck around. So straight up, it's going to be a very mature game. There will be cyborg cyberpunk sex and all kinds of fun things you can do.
Well, the listing in Brazil was immediately taken down, but not before somebody recorded it and then it spread across the internet and then it's all over all the major publications for video games. But the ratings leak lists things like illicit drugs, intense sexual relations, suicide, cruelty, and more. And what was the guy's name? Powell Sasko. When he expressed his personal thoughts on the leak on Twitter, when he says that we don't fuck around, you know what the first thing I thought of was? Fuck yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Own your shit. And he did.
He's like, I don't give a shit. We don't fuck around, guys. Come on.
Well, CD Projekt Red didn't officially comment on the leak, but the fact that you got one of the lead quest designers commenting on it, that gives it some legitimacy. They may have taken the ratings thing down, but you know it's going to come back up. I expect that game in North America to be rated mature, you know?
It would be the actual first 18-plus game I ever own.
Oh, so it could possibly be rated adults only. Is that what I'm
yeah,
hearing?
That's what I'm saying, is if it's 18-plus in... If it's 18 plus in Brazil, it's probably going to be an ESRB rating. Here in the US, it's 18 plus if they're putting in full sexual relations and they're showing stuff, unless they cut it in America and they edit it to where it would become a 17 plus mature rating. So on to the sadder, more solemn news that affects you more than me.
Not really. I mean, it does. Well, it kind of affects me a little bit, but Nintendo is implementing a soft shutdown of the Wii U and 3DS eShop services beginning in July in select regions. So basically what that means is it's the beginning of the end for the 3DS and the Wii U's online services.
That's okay, because you know what? We got a dual screen Switch coming. So, you know, that whole dual screen Wii U with the extra pad, the 3DS with the extra screen, they're just taking that technology and they're putting it into the Switch.
If you guys listened to our previous podcast, that is a rumor and has yet to be officially announced. Switch with two screens. Get out of here. But Nintendo has formally announced that owners of those systems in select regions will soon no longer be able to redeem download codes, re-download software, or update software on the 3DS or the Wii U, and they mention that, quote, any software that requires the limited Nintendo eShops to operate may cease to function. Closures will occur on July 31st, 2020. Nintendo recommends that all owners in the affected countries redeem unused download codes, update all software, and re-download any previously downloaded software. Now, for those of you who are wondering what regions are going to be affected, well, right now it's mainly regions in South America, such as Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, Ecuador, El Salvador, Guadalupe, Haiti, Honduras, Jamaica, Peru. There's a lot. I'm not sure when it'll only be a matter of time before it reaches North America, but either way, they're starting to close down regions such as these, but that's because these systems are also region locked. So if they're going to start closing down these things, they have to go region by region.
So if you got games that you need digitally from the Wii U, download them now and keep them.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as you guys still have those systems and you want to use them and you want to make sure you have all your games, now is the time.
Which we should inform Dream to make sure he downloads that Skyward Sword I sent him.
Yeah, you should totally hit him up on that one. But part of me expected this to happen, but it's only a matter of time before it reaches North America.
I think it's kind of bad they're completely shutting off any download in general. Like, they don't have a backup server just for downloads. Like, not being able to buy off the store and all that stuff would be fine. But just shutting off downloads, that's basically saying, sorry guys, you lose all your money if you uninstall the game.
They have to shut down these consoles at some point, because now they're looking towards the future and these things are just holding them back at this point, I think.
You get what I mean, though. Like,
not really. They bought the game, but these systems have been out for 7+ years. It's time for it to end. It's all about the Switch in the future at this point. I see why Nintendo's doing it. I don't like it, but I understand it.
I mean, I understand it too. It's just... It sucks.
It does. It totally does. They did this for the Wii already and all the stuff that was attached to that one. But at least as long as you guys download your stuff now, I mean, this isn't going to go into effect in South America until July. I mean, it's only a matter of time before it's North America, but that gives you plenty of time to whatever you have, to back it up now. So when it ceases to function, at least you have a system that still has it. Unfortunate thing about that, though, was with the Wii U, all games downloaded to the Wii U are attached to the console, not the profile. So if something ever happens to your console, you're screwed. That I hate. But I've known that since the Wii launched years ago. The Switch is different. The Switch is better.
Aside from battery life.
Aside from battery life.
Microsoft announces Xbox Series X game reveal event. And no, not the logo. We already know the logo is weird.
Yeah, last week they announced the logo. This week they're announcing that Thursday, May 7th at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, they're going to have a special Inside Xbox presentation to reveal the first ever gameplay of the Xbox Series X games. It's actually kind of exciting.
You mean the Xbox Series X and Windows platform games?
Look, I don't care about what console or platform that you play it on. They're showing games. They're showing games to get you excited for the console and for whatever you computer you play it on. I'm all about celebrating video games.
I know, I'm just talking shit.
I know you are. I may never buy an Xbox Series X, but goddamn it, I love it when they show presentations for video games.
By the way, Blue.
What?
I triggered you again.
You did. Okay, look. It's one thing to not own an Xbox, but it's another thing to... Dude, they're celebrating games. What is not to love about that? I get excited when Phil Spencer walks up on stage and goes, "Yeah, look what we got." I'm like, "Yeah, you go."
Yeah, you go.
Dude, I love Phil Spencer. He's a celebrity. He's awesome. And he shows some cool shit. When he came out to announce the Xbox Series X at the Game Awards in December, I was pumped. It was fun. But now we got another event for games, which is great.
Outstanding.
It is outstanding, yes. Personal gaming highlights of the week.
So let's see here. Just more work on the tabletop, of course. No Geralt, so just fuck Geralt.
Yeah. Guys, he's never gonna do it.
Nope, I'm never gonna do it. I maybe one day. When
it's week six, he hasn't even started it.
Shut up. Shut up. So yeah, aside from that, I worked more on the tabletop, got some more names and stuff down. Not much actually fully accomplished on it. Aside from that, I streamed. We streamed once this week. I streamed with you once this week.
Oh yeah,
You tested out Monster Hunter.
We did. You gifted me a game.
Two games, actually, but only one that really matters.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. Yeah, no, Derp, you gifted me a game. You gifted me Monster Hunter World, and you gave me Resident Evil 3 Remake on Steam. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I bought a new graphics card, and there was no other way to give it to anyone else, so I stole your account and put it on your account.
I appreciate that. Thank you for sharing the wealth of your graphics card.
Yep,
my hard drive is having a hard time, though, because Monster Hunter World is huge.
Yes. Yes, it is, especially when you download the HD pack.
Dude, I downloaded that texture pack. It was 45 gigs just for the texture pack. Oh, my God. God, the game looks beautiful, but it puts just my CPU to 90%.
Well, mine was too, by the way, and I just realized, well, it wasn't on the HD pack, but even so, it does use a graphics card for the texture pack. The CPU's usage does not change.
It did for me. The second I used the texture pack, the second my CPU went all the way up to 90.
Oh, it didn't do it for me at all. It was at the same the whole time.
That first time I played it with you was not a problem, so I have to turn that texture pack off.
Okay. But anyways, aside from that, I did have a library stream. It was chill, it was quiet. It was a chill week for me, overall. Played some Monster Hunter off stream. Yeah, it was a chill week.
Nice. Can't go wrong with a chill week. You know, I actually had a pretty chill week, too. I actually took a really big break. Had some family stuff going on. I wasn't able to stream on Sunday. We did not play Shenmue. So I just spent most of the days actually editing our website, making updates, making changes. I think I finally reached a point where it's done.
Good.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Everyone, you need to go to it now. www.paradigmgaming.live. Please go to it now.
Blue has done a lot of work. You need to respect that, because he is a beautiful genius who has made it amazing.
I could have swore I heard you say Paradigm Gamaling.
I probably did, but it's paradigmgaming.live. I'm sorry for that. I was very into the moment.
I appreciated that moment. I felt it right here. I had a lot of fun working on the website. I added more content, added a lot more pages. It's beautiful. There's a new design to it, and the navigating it is a lot more easier now. And Dirt, when we said for years, hey, we'd love to do a website. We're like, yeah, we should do a website, and we never did. We did last year. We started the website, paradigmgaming.live, but I don't think it was until this past 4 or 5 months that I really felt like I really wanted to make it look professional, slick, and clean. Streamlabs does a decent job giving you the tools to make it easy to design a website, but the challenge was that it is a little bit limited. They don't let you do a lot of things that you could do on a traditional web design site like, say, Wix. But what I was able to use, I'm pretty proud of. And it's simple, it's fun, and there's a lot of fun stuff about Paradigm Gaming on there. And it's literally just you and me. Everything we've ever done in the last 12 years is now all contained on one website, and it just makes me happy.
That's good. I love the website, dude. Seriously, it's amazing.
That is my highlight of the week, was working on that. Other than that, I've been playing games offline. Final Fantasy VII, Monster Hunter World, getting a feel for that. Thank you again for gifting that to me. I appreciate it. I'm having a lot of fun with that. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to stream some more together. Streaming with you, doing the character creation and doing a couple of the first missions was fun. But I know I'm just at the tip of the iceberg, so we should definitely play some more.
Yes, because Monster Hunter is fun.
That's what I hear.
It really is.
It's got addicting. A lot of friends in the gaming community that are excited that I'm joining
especially
the party.
Especially Zero, because Zero... That's all Zero plays right now, and he's been on off and on thing. When he gets bored of it, he goes off of it, but then the big updates come, and he's like, yeah, Monster Hunter.
Well, cool. I'll have to dive in and join you guys then. That's awesome.
Gaming streaming goals of the week.
Do you have any goals for the week, Derp?
Obviously, tabletop is seriously like my primary goal every week right now. I really have a heart set on this. I want to get a ton. This is probably going to be at least a 1 to 2 year project. At least. Depending on how much help I get in the background. I mean, it's all dependent on if other people boister up and start throwing in things and what kind of help I get. If it's just me, obviously a lot, then it's going to take a lot longer. But as far as the help I've gotten already, it's progressed way farther than I even imagined.
Well, then Derp, follow your heart, man. If that's what you love and that's what you want to do, then keep at it.
I absolutely am. And it's I'm enjoying it. So aside from that, I'll probably just play some more Monster Hunter. I'm going to try and get another library stream in. But at least I'm going to be playing some Monster Hunter this week along with working on the tabletop. But as far as streaming, I don't know what's happening this week.
All right. Well, keep us posted. You never know. If you're able to do it, great. If not, I will try to pick up the slack. That is my plan, my goal for the week, though. I'm planning on streaming tomorrow, which is Sunday. I plan on streaming more Shenmue 2. My usual stream days are Sunday, so I'm looking forward to that. I missed last week, and I'm kind of sad about that, but I'm excited to dive right back into it because I had so much fun playing Shenmue 2. And then off stream, I plan on continuing more Final Fantasy VII because I am so excited to finally beat this game. And I want to make more Super Mario Maker World 2 levels. I want to keep cracking at the world-making machine, which looks really cool, by the way. I got a chance to kind of play around with it and look at it, and I'll start posting some new stuff soon.
Sweet.
Welcome back. Thanks for waiting. We've made it to our ultimate topics of the evening. You want to know what they are?
I do, even though I do, but I do.
What are your top three of the action-adventure genre?
Oh, that's a good one. Especially after I had to explain what the actual genre entailed.
Action-adventure is such a very broad spectrum, And a lot of us needed help to figure out what exactly the kind of games does that cover. Well, we figured it out, and we're ready to discuss.
Basically, it is a genre that includes you being open to do or travel or adventure in the game, while it contains action elements of you having some sort of fighting where you do the actions, or you rolling, dodging, you know, just a game that involves having an action sequence that you control.
Yeah, pretty much everything he just said.
It's a very broad spectrum.
But it is a genre, and it is worthy of discussion, because once I started doing some digging, there's a few games on this list that I enjoyed. But the rules are, narrow it down to your top three.
Yes.
Derp, do you want to kick us off?
I will. So my first one, taking number three spot, Red Dead Redemption 1.
Oh, the first one.
Number one.
Nice.
Because I have not finished 2. But the reason I put Red Dead Redemption at the 3 of my list, it was the, not the first, but when trophies were implemented, as far as systems go, Xbox implemented trophies. And it was the first game that I ever got the max amount of trophies on, that I got everything on it. Before, of course, Red Dead, the zombie, Undead Redemption or whatever, Undead.
Red, yeah, I know which one. Yeah.
Yeah, the Undead thing that came out with Red Dead Redemption. I went through and did everything with that game. I got the Black Duster. I slayed a bear with a knife. I did all the adventuring. I did all the quests. I did everything. And the big thing about that with me is, it's Rockstar with a GTA-based style game.
Yeah.
Now, when you come to a game like Red Dead Redemption, the Wild West is over. The era is so interesting and a lot of fun to learn about, that just going and being able to play a game that's based in it is so much more interesting than drugs and current times and running around and picking up hookers and, yeah, all that stuff. So you, I mean, it's just more fun.
I feel you. Derp, I feel you. I really do. And everything you're saying, you know, if it doesn't resonate with you, it doesn't. But Red Dead does, and that is amazing.
Red Dead Redemption, just, they, Rockstar was always good with facial capture, and the game, just, the actors were good. The voice acting was amazing. The facial capture, how they moved the faces, was beautiful. Like, it was a really good game. And the emotions, everything that went along with it was perfect.
Nice.
Just, I don't know, I got grabbed into that game really hard. If Rockstar ever made a medieval game, oh, I'd be gone for life.
Make it happen, Rockstar. Make it happen.
Rockstar making a medieval fantasy? Dude, I'm gone.
That's awesome, Derp. That is awesome.
So how about you, buddy?
Number third spot for me, Uncharted 4.
Uncharted 4?
Came out in 2016. Now, this was an unexpected game from Naughty Dog. They already did the trilogy. And after The Last of Us came out, dude, that game blew people out of the water. It was a surprise that they were even going to take another stab at the Uncharted franchise. While the first three games were amazing in their own right, this game felt very different from the rest of them. And I liked so many things about this game. The gameplay elements that they incorporated from The Last of Us were in this game. When it comes to the visuals, like, there's not a single icon that flashes that you need to pick up. As soon as you get towards a door, then the triangle button, it's a very small indicator, a little triangle indicator will pop up to hit that button for you to open a door. And after you do, it's like you're just immersed in this world. It is beautiful. There's no necessary for radar, HUD, all that stuff. While they're in the game, they try to make it so you're just immersed in it. But that's the other thing, too. A lot of the other games are linear. This game was a lot much bigger. The world got bigger. You travel to so many places, some of which felt like a huge open world setting, especially when you go to places like Africa. You can drive and explore so many places in when you eventually get there. And it's just mesmerizing, jaw-dropping. The story and the characters that inhabited this game, they got bigger. You care for every single person you meet in the game, even if they're the enemy. They paint a huge picture of what each character means to each other, and the relationships are extremely complicated. It's like you're watching a movie, but honestly, you're playing a movie. But it's not a game where it's all cutscenes like Tales of Hysteria. Dude, there is so much nonstop action in Uncharted 4. It gives you plenty of breathing room, though, to stop and take a look around at the world that you're in. But unlike Uncharted 3, where it felt like it would never give you a break, this game actually lets you take breaks from time to time and just marvel at its beauty. It's amazing. Also, the graphics for the game made it look like one of the most impressive-looking games for the PS4 at the time of its launch. Other games came out eventually, such as like God of War, Red Dead Redemption 2, but when Uncharted 4 came out, there was no game out there that looked quite like it. And it,
yeah,
the character models were so realistic that this game could almost be passed as a filmed movie. Almost. The gaming technology is getting more amazing by the day. But graphics aside, gameplay was well balanced. It had one of the most amazing stories I've ever played. It reminded me of a combination between Indiana Jones and the Goonies. there was amazing water graphics. You're trying to find a pirate ship and a pirate treasure, and the relationships that every character has in this game is intense and believable. And it was just a fun ride. This is one of my favorite games.
Good.
That's why it's on my top three.
Sweet.
What about you, Derp? What's your two spot? What's your number two?
My two spot is technically two games. Because it's one whole story.
All right.
More or less. Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver 1 and 2.
Put two games for your two spot?
Technically, yes, because the Soul Reaver series itself, just Soul Reaver. Not Defiance, not Blood Omen, Soul Reaver. Soul Reaver was the reason that I have permanently inked my body with emblems from the game.
You did.
I did, and you know what? I still don't regret it.
That's good.
I really don't. I like them.
That's good.
Because I love the Soul Reaver series. That game, I'd say that game was the first game that was an open world adventure for me. You know, as open as it could be with what it was. Given I know it was linear, more or less. It put you on a set path that you ran through. But it was open in the fact that you ported to these areas to go to them and run through and figure out puzzles. But it was my first open action and adventure game. I feel like I'm trying to think of what else might be in that, like maybe Devil May Cry, but that was PS2, right?
Yeah. Soul Reaver 1 was PS1 and Soul Reaver 2 was PS2.
So an actual open world action adventure game. I mean, I guess you can count Nintendo 64 games in that area too, but I don't know. This was the first one that really grabbed me and set me on that. I don't know. It's just, it was the story, the game itself, the gameplay, it was brutal in its own form. It wasn't graphically enhanced, like with blood and guts everywhere or anything like that, but it was
brutal. It really wasn't.
Like, there was some brutal stuff in there, like as far as the vampires go and stuff like that, eating of souls, and just the premise of it was pretty dark.
You could throw vampire minions into water to dissolve. You can impale them into spikes in the wall. Yeah. It was brutal for its time.
And then it had pixelated blood that dripped from him, but that was about it. But it was, just the story in general, though, is what pulled me the most. And Raziel and his voice actor just was so good.
That game housed some of the best voice acting in a video game I've ever experienced.
I just loved everything about him.
You know, one and two connect immediately to each other.
Yeah.
Like, how one ends is how two starts. So it almost is its own one whole game.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I combined them, because they are one full story. Defiance is its own thing, and...
Defiance is... No, I disagree. Defiance is what closed the Soul Reaver Blood Omen series. You have Cain and Raziel, and they close the gate. They end the conflict with the Elder God from Soul Reaver 1 and 2.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I just see Soul Reaver 1 and 2 as their own thing, and then it's a combined ending.
Mobius, who's been basically intertwining all the timeline things between Raziel and Cain and trying to manipulate both Cain and Raziel at the same time, he's the main enemy with the Elder God in Defiance, who started it with...
Spoilers!
Soul Reaver. Dude, I'm just trying to tell you, you can't discount... You cannot discount Defiance. It is the third game in the Soul Reaver trilogy, in my opinion. You need to replay that and come back to me.
I probably should. It's been a long, 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 long time.
It's been a while. Dude, Blood Omen, Cain, Soul Reaver, Raziel, and Cain. Defiance brought all together for one final conflict between the two, and it was the fight we've been waiting for. Defiance was amazing. Play it.
I think I just got too hooked into one and two that I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe you're just afraid for the series to end.
I think I am.
If you love those tattoos so much, you'd play that game because that represents a huge piece to the Legacy of Cain puzzle.
I know, and I have played it. It's just been so long.
I know. I'm giving you a hard time. I'm sorry.
What's your number two?
What's my number two? Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater. Came out in 2004.
I've actually never played that one, in all honesty.
Alright, I won't be too long like I was with Fallout New Vegas, but they are related, alright? I originally preferred Metal Gear Solid 2. And it's similar with Fallout New Vegas versus Fallout 3, where... I needed something about Metal Gear Solid 3 to hook me, and every time I tried, something just threw me off about 3. It just didn't click. Part 3 back then, it went back to the Cold War. It went back to the 1960s, where you play as Big Boss. Big Boss is the basis for which Solid Snake was created. While I love Cold War espionage stuff, the gameplay elements in this game were vastly different. You're left in the middle of the jungle instead of high-tech military bases in the middle of Alaska in the first game or the middle of the ocean in the second game. And here you have to wear camouflage. You have to wear the right camouflage while you're exploring the jungle so you can hide from your enemies. Versus the second game, you didn't have to worry about that kind of thing. You also had to eat the right foods to survive. This game is called Snake Eater. You actually eat snakes to survive in this game, among other things. It's not that I didn't like this game at first. And it wasn't just the fact that it was really, really hard. I tried to figure it out, but I'm not good at sneaking around. You can ask my wife. I am not that good at sneaking games.
I was almost questioning the real life thing about you sneaking around trying to do something and she finding out everything.
You might be right. I don't know. Sneaking games are challenging. Assassin's Creed, sometimes you have to sneak. I'm not good at that either. I just show up and be like, what up? And then they all attack me at once. And
I'll be real. You can't sneak around in your house.
No.
The floors are very creaky.
Yes. Yes, they are.
The doors are very loud.
Well, it's kind of funny with Metal Gear 3. I got to the old man sniper, and his name is The End. And that's a really far point in the game. But I could not figure out how to beat him. I just kept dying. And I learned that there's a hack where you can change the date on your PS2, and you can push it forward, and then when you go back to him in the game, The End, he'll just die there of old age, and you can just leave and go to the next level. Now, initially, I thought that was funny, but it's technically also a cheat. And I like beating games for real and overcoming the challenge, so I just kept trying, and I just kept dying, and I just couldn't do it. So I put the game down, other games came out, and I forgot about it. Now, this was 2004. 9 years later, the Metal Gear Solid Legacy Collection comes out for the PlayStation 3, and I immediately pick it up. It's got everything. It's got 1, 2, 3, and 4, and the original games from...
Nintendo?
The MSX, the original Nintendo, that kind of thing, yeah. But I picked it up, and I gave Metal Gear Solid 3 another chance. And this time, I felt it was vastly different. I immediately got hooked, Maybe it was because of the nostalgia. I did get far in the original the first time I tried playing it. I don't know. All I know is I couldn't put the game down this time. I figured out a way to sneak up behind the end, the old man sniper, and I was able to take him out myself. And the next thing I know, I'm in uncharted territory. I'm in a new place that I've never been to before. The game got even more intense. I was infiltrating the boss's enemies. I was basically in an area that had the enemy's base that was housing a new prototype Metal Gear, and I had to have a final confrontation with the boss, the leader who trained, Big Boss.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. This game was a full-on soap opera. It was a soap opera. It was filled with many things from our real-world history. It had a lot of fake drama between these fictional characters. And after I finally completed the game, I realized it was the best Metal Gear game I have ever, ever played. I love it more than Part 2, and I love Part 2. I also loved Part 4. They're both amazing games. But other than the initial gameplay of Metal Gear Solid 3, I keep thinking back on the story of Part 2. I think that's where I had the disconnect a long time ago when it originally came out. Because in that game, at the very end...
Oh, hang on. Spoiler alert! Okay.
We learn that the Patriots, they're called the Patriots, these group of people.
Did you find the Patriots list?
Of course. It contains the personal data of 12 people. There was a name on it. Snake, it was one of our biggest contributors.
What's going on around here?
I don't know.
Anyway, where are they?
Well, we were right about them being on Manhattan, but...
But what?
They're already dead. All 12 of them.
When did it happen?
Well, about 100 years ago.
What the hell?
That's a huge plot twist. And the next thing I know, this brand new Metal Gear Solid 3 game takes us back to the 60s Cold War era. How the hell am I going to get my answers to that twist? I just kept thinking about how impactful 2 was, and how and here I am in the past, not knowing if I'm going to get those answers. Spoiler alert, I didn't get those answers when I finally beat the game. But when they announced Metal Gear Solid 4 Guns of the Patriots in 2005 at E3, that's when I knew I would eventually get my answers, and I played 4, and I loved it, and it was great. But I'm sure that's what threw me off of Metal Gear Solid 3 initially. But I am so glad that I revisited Metal Gear Solid 3 because it turned out to be one of my favorite games in the series, and I think it added more depth to the lore and the story of the overall franchise than I ever thought possible. Metal Gear Solid 3 is an amazing game.
Bubble. Gurgle.
Bubble and gurgle.
So yeah, that's my 2 spot.
And then we go to our top number one.
Derp, what is your top number one spot?
What do you think it is?
Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice?
Close.
Okay, what is it?
Bloodborne.
Oh, nice!
My top action-adventure game is Bloodborne. Some would think Dark Souls, but no.
You know what? I picked a game in the right category for you.
You did. You did pick a game in the right category, and honestly, the only reason I beat Sekiro is luck. Come at me, Zero and Choco. Anyways, so Bloodborne.
All right.
I started this game so many times when I first picked it up. Because I like Dark Souls, and I loved the aesthetic that they were going for in Bloodborne. Never went through it. When I first started playing this game, I got to the cleric beast on the bridge, died multiple times, sucked at the game, dropped it. I regret ever dropping that game. Eventually, I ended up playing it with you, like multiplayer, and us taking like an hour just to figure out how to get the shit working.
Something about a bell.
Yeah, and it was because we were in the church.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't want to work in the church. So eventually, I got back into it. But it wasn't until I started watching Quiddy do his speedrun Bloodborne runs.
Who's Quiddy?
KWitty23. He is a partnered streamer, and he does a bunch of Dark Souls speedruns and Bloodborne speedruns. He's branched off to play a lot of other games, but he is one of the top speedrunners in the Dark Souls community.
You can find him at
twitch.tv/kwitty23. K-W-I-T-T-Y 23. He is a brilliant and very chill streamer. So anyways, after I started watching him, I got back into playing Bloodborne because after a game that you did enjoy playing, you get this itch. You got an itch. It's like, I got to go back and play it. It's like a drug. I got to go back and play it. So I went back and played it. I ended up getting past the Cleric Beast and getting farther. I eventually did beat it.
Nice.
Went on, did the DLC and beat it. Continued to watch the speedruns and learning the skips, learning the speedrun, learning all that, and eventually started streaming the speedruns, trying to get better at the game, trying to do these speedruns. And I did, at a point, get a decent length into a speedrun. I got all the way from the beginning of the game to, if you played it, the Shadows of Yharnam within 30 minutes, which, I mean, for a starting speedrunner, that's not bad. 30 minutes to get to the third or fourth boss in the game? Fourth boss in the game. It was awesome. But I ended up falling off the train because it was hard.
The game is hard.
It was very difficult, but I did learn a couple of the skips that make it go by a lot faster. But every time I got to certain bosses, I would screw up or do something stupid. But I mean, it was the first game that I actually tried to learn straight up. I enjoyed it so much. I tried to learn it and try and become as best as I could at it. And I don't do that with games.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from like Modern Warfare 2, where it's just a mass amount of playing the game over and 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 over again.
That's a vastly different game, too.
Yeah, it's vastly different. And once you, I mean, you can only get so good at that game because it's all a matter of reaction time and blah, 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 which Bloodborne kind of does become the same thing when you're trying to speed run it.
You know what's great about you playing Bloodborne so much on Twitch, though, Derp? We got some amazing clips, and my favorite is the compilation of your Derp Taku salt run.
Yeah, there's a lot of memes rolling around with me playing Bloodborne.
Dude, again? Why is this a thing? Why is this a thing? I don't know why this is a... Oh, that was lucky. That was not. That was sadness. What? Like, How did that hit me?
And the video you guys can find on our YouTube channel. It's amazing. Derp Taku Salt Run.
No, it's a good video, though.
Good choice for a number one.
What do I think yours is?
What do you think my number one is, Derp?
Super Metroid.
I thought about that. And I decided not to put that one as my top action adventure.
Okay, so if it's not Super Metroid...
Well, there is my top games of all time, and Super Metroid is among those top games, but for the action adventure genre... My top number one spot is Metroid Prime.
See, I was right. It was a Metroid.
You were.
Just not the right one.
Metroid Prime, it came out in 2002. Metroid Prime is one of the most absorbing solo gaming experiences I have ever had.
Speak from the heart, buddy. You got this.
It's immersive to the point that many video games today fall short. And for a game that came out 18 years ago, it's amazing how much it still holds up. Seriously. It's mind-blowing. We haven't had anything quite like it since, and I find its influence in a lot of other games that have come out within the last couple of years, a couple of months, actually. Take Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, for instance, or Doom Eternal. The 3D digital mapping system of those games takes me back to Metroid Prime. They are so similar. Scanning objects in Jedi Fallen Order, that's also reminiscent of Metroid Prime, and that's one of the things I love about Jedi Fallen Order. But I love stuff like this, because it lets you feel like you're a part of the world you're inhabiting. Examining it is in as much detail as you can, and it's just pretty cool. You're just a part of the world that you're in. Not a lot of games give you that immersion. But all of that started with Metroid Prime for me. This game had an immersive planet to explore with a vast, thriving ecosystem filled with amazing atmosphere and a goddamn beautiful soundtrack.
Yes, I agree.
Not to mention all the bosses and enemies that you encounter, this game doesn't present you with a horde of enemies to eradicate, but it, rather it gives you enemies that you have to scan, find weaknesses to exploit, and use your arsenal of weapons you acquire throughout the game to your advantage. And that's challenging in and of itself, but when you scan an enemy and you learn about them, you just learn something. You learn more about them as a creature, as a person, and what their tactics are, and you have more of an understanding of who your enemy is in the environment that you're in. And it's a lot more than just, oh, you look ugly, I'm just going to blast you with my BFG gun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I know you enjoyed me playing through that because that was the first Metroid game I've beaten.
You have. Watching you stream that was really cool because I got to see it through fresh pair of eyes, you know? But what I love about Metroid Prime, this game took most of what I love about the Metroid series and elevated to a place that I couldn't imagine possible. When it was announced, I couldn't picture how the game would actually work in a first-person perspective. This was the first Metroid to be put in a first-person's perspective. And it wasn't a first-person shooter. Nintendo dubbed it a first-person adventure, so it's not like Call of Duty or anything like that.
Because there were still puzzle sequences, there were stuff like that that you had to do in first-person, so, I mean, yes. It wasn't focused on you going running and gunning everything.
You explore, you scan your environment, you get upgrades to your weapons, missiles, new beam weapons, grappling beams to swing yourself across from lava platforms. Dude, this game had it all. This took what I loved from the Metroid series from the previous Metroid games and put it in 3D in ways that were just so unique and so fun. But yeah, even back then when they announced that it was going to be in first person, I couldn't imagine what it'd be like because back then, we didn't have much in terms of resources when it comes to, like, how to figure out what the game's going to be like. We had resources like magazines. We didn't really have much when it comes to the internet. This was 2002. Watching video game trailers online wasn't really a thing. Not really. If there was, it was limited.
Game Informer.
Yeah, exactly.
Nintendo Power.
Exactly. But when I finally got to play this game firsthand, I was so blown away, and it became one of my favorite games in the series and is worthy of the top spot on my list.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
I love Metroid Prime.
Well, that is our top three. Now,
community participation. What are your top three games of the action-adventure genre? Derp?
And first on the list, we got a Foxy.
Foxy!
Foxy said, I'd have to put Assassin's Creed 2, Arkham City, and Yakuza 0 as the top three. And Those are good choices. Because, honestly, Assassin's Creed 2 is where I dropped off on the Assassin's Creed series. It was an awesome game, but it's sort of where I started dropping off.
Still one of the best in the series.
Arkham City, much like above, had refined mechanics, but it also gave a nice big area that was fun to fly around in and explore. The puzzles were fun to try and figure out. I just loved being able to beat down and stalk all hapless goons. And then Yakuza 0 has a nice little universe that it acts as a prelude to. The fighting system is so very fun to use, especially when using the fast fighting styles. The story is full of many twists and turns, and even the side stuff is fun to do. Especially the pocket car racing.
Pocket car racing.
Now, I know there's a lot of stuff in the Yakuza games as far as mini games go, but my favorite always to watch was the karaoke.
Yeah.
Karaoke.
Karaoke's fun.
Those were hilarious to watch because it's always the main character actually singing, and it's great.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing, Foxy. That's awesome. All right. Indigo Rogue. She put Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, also put Yakuza 0, and L.A. Noire. And she states, before it got a remake, I thought Link's Awakening was one of the most underrated Zelda games of the series. Not many people talked about it, and I feel like Oracle of Seasons and Ages got the majority of the hype, even though it was the same playing style. When I first heard it was getting a remake, I jumped for joy because it was much deserved. The original also had a major change to the title music that I immediately fell in love with, and even with the remake, I love it even more. Link's Awakening was one of those games, Derp, when I was a kid. When I traveled from Maryland to Washington State when me and my mom moved, I had that game on my Game Boy on me at all times.
I still have that game in my dresser drawer for my Game Boy.
That is one of my favorite handheld Zelda games.
I don't have a Game Boy anymore, but I still have it.
That's good. You should hold on to that. Because that's good.
Dude, the new Link's Awakening was really good, though. I actually beat that before you.
Yeah, I'm still working on that.
Yeah, I beat it. Me.
Good,
Derp.
Good job,
Derp,
man.
Beat Link's Awakening. And I don't play Zelda games usually.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. It was good.
That's good. That makes me happy. That warms my heart.
Now you beat it.
All right. I will. We'll talk about it. Andy also says Yakuza 0. This feels like a biased opinion because I'm currently streaming it. But she says she picks Yakuza 0 because of the story. I got to chapter 14 as of last night, Monday night for the CODcast time specifications. And there was...
Thank you for that time specification.
That was great. And there was so much plot I wasn't expecting or kind of knew. Fighting can be kind of taxing, but the mini stories and the games make it even more worth it. What other games can you do UFO crane games in? It gives the game so much light and a lot of its charm. That's awesome.
Like, I seriously agree with her. I watched all of Yakuza 0 when Zero was streaming it too. And
everyone
it's a great
keeps
game.
Talking about this game, Derp. I'm gonna have to check it out.
Dude, I seriously think you would greatly enjoy the Yakuza games. I've just seen so much of them streamed that I feel, as far as the story goes, I can't fully enjoy them.
I've seen a lot of them streamed too, but I've only seen bits and pieces. So, but yeah, no, I feel you. I'll have to check it out. And her last one was L.A. Noire. She says, I know the game got some flip-flopping opinions, and I did go out of my way to buy the updated version when it got announced. Once again, I'm going to go with the story, music, and overall charm. I'm upset with the ending and the fact that we might never get an L.A. Noire 2, but jumping back into a time of old slang, jazz, and mysterious killings is my kind of thing. There's also a blooper reel of the mocaps on YouTube that's hilarious. I also based a college project on this explaining the overlapping mood sounds, i.e. rainfall, adds to the effect of the theme as well. L.A. Noire was one of those games that came out of nowhere that just was just the technology and how it was implemented and how the game played and how you interrogate people and ask questions to get answers was so fun.
And you have to watch them to see if they're lying or if they're looking somewhere else or like what they're doing. And it was really well done. And the music,
very well
dude,
done.
The soundtrack is so good. Then next on the list, we got Slade.
John Slade.
And he agrees with me on a game, Red Dead Redemption. I've stated this before, this is my all-time favorite game. I love this game more than anything I've ever played. The story is on this actually brought tears, and the cutscenes were so stunning, they make you want to live the outlaw cowboy life.
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw, sawbitch pile monkey nuts! Thank you, Slade. I'm glad that you agree with me on this.
Hell yeah.
Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag. I love this game for the story. It's another one of those games that was just so well written, and to me, this was the best AC game to date. The way Ubisoft was able to romanticize pirates and allow you to create an attachment to them just makes the story feel even more personal and meaningful.
You want to know a secret, Derp? This is my favorite Assassin's Creed in the entire series.
So hey, Slade agrees with you.
And not just because of the water.
Are you sure?
Everything he describes is 110% accurate. I loved this game.
Okay. And then, to make Dawn happy, The Witcher 3. Dawn got me into playing The Witcher. See? Dawn's already mentioned. Dawn got me into playing The Witcher, and while this isn't my main kind of genre of game with all the monsters and magic, I have to say I loved it. It has such a massive open world and is so enjoyable to play, and the way the lore is explained and the storyline develops makes this a game that you can just get lost in.
What was it? Lilac and Gooseberries.
Lilac.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing, Slade. Next we have Eclair. She didn't have a top three for this category, but she did pick one. Slime Rancher, which qualifies. Awesome. Thank you for sharing, Eclair. And followed by Eclair is Elwinder. Elwinder says, I know this is going back pretty far, but Pitfall for the Atari was one of my favorite action-adventure games. The first AA PC game I really loved was Heretic 2. It was the first game I played that was over the shoulder. I've never been good at first-person shooter games, and it opened up a whole new world of gaming for me. Hell yeah. Thank you for sharing, Al.
And that brings us to the end of all of the top threes. That was quite a long list.
That was epic. That was excellent. That was awesome. Thank you, guys.
That was awesome. Thank you all for joining in that topic. But now our next topic.
We've got one more. One more topic of discussion. What is your go-to game when you want to relax? Derp, what do you got?
Indigo goes to Fallout Shelter, oddly enough. It's simple. You can plan out well, and the game basically runs itself. It's pretty mindless.
Absolutely.
Which
I played a lot of hours of Fallout Shelter when it was released.
A lot of these actually go into the mindlessness of a mobile game, I noticed.
Yeah?
A lot of people's things go into the mindlessness of a mobile game.
Sometimes, if you want to relax, you don't want to think too hard.
Pretty much.
Well, next we have Kel-Kel, and she says, Animal Crossing New Horizons. Purely because you can shape your island the way you want. You can dress how you want and decorate how you want. Also, the music in the game is phenomenal, and I love it to bits. She is absolutely right, Derp. That game is fun, that game is relaxing, and the music is so relaxing, it still puts me to sleep. Arcanian, my wife, has been showing me a lot of progress that she's been making in Animal Crossing, and I can see why it's a game people play to relax.
Yeah. Yeah. I already dropped it pretty much because it's not my type of game. Just like I thought, I get bored of it.
It's okay, Derp. One of these days, you'll pick it back up and you're like, oh yeah, that's why I played this.
And then drop it after 2 hours.
It's okay.
Next on the list, we got Owender. Azur Lane. I don't have to concentrate on it. I can just play it while I'm sitting on my perch throwing the ball for the puppy. And it does have an auto battle function, so that makes it even easier.
That's really cool. That is really cool. Next we have Slade. John Slade said Farming Simulator 2019 or American Truck Simulator. Same reasons for both. They are games that require no thought, relaxing just to watch landscape roll by and not have to actively think about a goal. That actually sounds really cool. I've never played any type of farming or truck simulator or any simulator that I can think of. Might be worth a look. Have you, Derp?
No, I played American Truck Simulator on one of the library streams briefly, and it was fun. I made sure I bought the Washington one, the Washington DLC, just because.
All right.
And Seattle looks like Seattle, but like the routes are very consolidated into like it's like 2 miles from Washington to Oregon, that kind of thing. But it was fun just to do real quick. Now, Foxy, go to relaxation game? Something made by Paradox, which I was surprised when somebody mentioned Paradox because I used to go to them for keys to test games on YouTube when I was doing the YouTube videos for the channel.
I remember. That's super cool.
But if you're lucky or methodical like me, you can make a game of Stellaris or Crusader Kings 2 quite relaxing and slow, even if you are wrestling with medieval warfare in it. And Stellaris is actually space age stuff.
Next, we've got Jolin, a.k.a. Give Me Nuggets, a.k.a. Screw the Rules, I'm a Nerd, a.k.a. Nugget Lover.
You're welcome for that.
Well, my answer would be obvious. Any world building / calm crafting / cute world making or any of the sort of type of games. Sims, Stardew Valley, Animal Crossing, any of these sort of type of games can literally suck me up and leave me to play them all day to the point almost forgetting everything around me and helping emptying my mind when I can concentrate on building the stuff or playing as the Sims just gives me the little moment for myself. And I form worlds how I want the colors and how I want it to look. Now, I love action-adventure games, too. I have a couple that I love. But if we're talking about actually relaxing, then it would be these type of games.
Then Eclair. She agrees with Nuggets in the building, crafting, cute world thing. I usually have at least 2 to 3 on my computer. The fact is, I don't play them that often. I play mainly other games, but because I talk a lot on Discord with people, most of my friends aren't in this country anymore, I like to turn something on. Last time we played Parkitect, for example, so I feel Nuggets on the side of decorating and those type of things. Oh, the other thing that I like to sometimes, or that I like sometimes for this reason, is Apex. I have a friend I play that game with, and I find it can be relaxing sometimes. On other times, I flip the table. Same with Overcooked 2, which I can understand. It's Apex. It's a first-person shooter competitive thing, so...
And I can actually understand Overcooked 2, because it's fun playing with friends, but after a certain point, it can get really hectic, and it makes me want to flip the table. Next up, we have Don Defrag. Anyone mentioned Tetris yet? This is exactly the question he's just asking us. Simple concept with a fun challenge, or you can set the difficulty. Catchy soundtrack, that I agree with. Tetris has a catchy soundtrack, and how can you not remember the main theme? Seriously. Catchy soundtrack, satisfying colors and sounds. It's a dopamine bomb in every version I've tried. And we know we all love that dopamine, man. Gotta get high off that dopamine. Tetris is a dopamine bomb faux show. I also enjoy PC Building Sim. It lets me have the fun of my hobby without the financial requirement. Which is true. Buying PC parts and building them is expensive. It's a very expensive hobby. I get to use all the fun, shiny hardware, build systems with real parts, and see how they would work in real life. Don has done a couple of PC building streams, and it's been really fun to watch.
And then the final one of the evening, we got Reaping. Wizard101, I'm Max, so it's not a challenge, and I can run around helping randoms. It's something I know.
Nice.
Which,
hell yeah.
In retrospect, that's kind of where I would fall in the way of World of Warcraft 2.
I also like how it ends in the number 101.
Yep. I'm sure you do. Good job,
Absolutely.
Buddy.
Absolutely. Derp, what's your go-to game when you want to relax?
Welp, World of Warcraft. Or Monster Hunter World right now, because it's kind of just based on the fact of what is interesting you at the time that'll let you relax. So definitely right now, Monster Hunter World gives me a bit of relaxation, just beating the piss out of a big-ass monster with a big stick. Is fun.
That's good.
And then good. Just WoW, because there's just so much time invested in it. It's good to just play.
Hell yeah.
And for you, sir, where do you relax?
Well, generally, when I want to relax, my go-to gaming always involves handhelds. My PSP, my 3DS, or my Game Boy Advance SP. I'm always playing something on either one of those machines when I'm laying in bed. Sometimes I play a little bit before I fall asleep, and I don't know, I just love handhelds. The last few games I've been playing off and on are Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow for the DS, Castlevania Aria of Sorrow for the Game Boy Advance, and Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2007 on the PSP.
We're at one of the most difficult, but also one of the favorite golf courses on the PGA Tour, the Stadium Course at the TPC at Sawgrass. This is Gary McCord for EA Sports. My partner David Faraday is at the 10th tee, ready to call today's action, so let's get the day started at 10.
Your tee shot looks good here.
I actually played that last night. I did 18 holes, and it's just relaxing. I love playing golf, listening to the ocean when you're playing on Pebble Beach, the wind blowing through the trees. It's amazing.
Yeah, and you were bugging Dawn about it, what other golf games you could get the other day.
I don't know what it was, Derp, but I've been having a hankering for a golf game. Tiger Woods, PGA Tour, I haven't seen in years, and they haven't made an official PGA Tour game in a long time, so I wanted something. And I got Everybody's Golf recently on the PS4. It's wacky, but it's fun, and it is a good golf game. But I will tell you, though, Derp, I am also a sucker for pinball.
Yeah, I've always known that. You've made mention of pinball quite a few times in the past.
Well, sometimes I find myself mindlessly playing pinball games on either my Vita or on the PS4. I've got Star Wars Pinball by Zen Studios,
mm-hmm.
and I play a lot of the Star Wars pinball machines, on the Vita, and it's awesome. But here's the cool thing. On the PS4, I have Pinball Arcade, where they take real-life arcade machines and recreate them digitally so you can play them at home. And you can buy different seasons with a variety of pinball tables, or you can buy specific pinball tables. Well, I bought two different pinball tables, and I can play them on repeat as often as I can. I have the official Star Trek The Next Generation pinball table.
Outstanding.
Welcome to the Enterprise.
Enterprise, the Borg have entered the Federation.
mission space. Intercept immediately. Admiral Biaggi out.
Course laid in, sir. Engage.
It's beautiful. I played the real thing in real life, and it's digitally recreated to a T, and it plays just like the real thing. And I also have the official Ghostbusters pinball table.
Symmetrical book stacking.
Which I've also played in real life. It's fairly new within the last 5 years. But my problem with the Ghostbuster thing in real life is that it's so popular, there's always a line for people who want to play it. But that's also fine. That means it's popular. Ghostbusters is popular. Mm-hmm. The pinball machine's popular. I mean, it is Ghostbusters after all, but when I recently discovered that they recreated this pinball machine digitally on the Pinball Arcade game on PS4, and I immediately bought it, and dude.
You heard that, right?
I lit up like a little kid and bought that shit immediately, and I've been playing that thing for hours. I freaking love pinball, man. That is my other go-to for relaxation.
Awesome.
The game is so cool. Final thoughts.
What are yours?
I feel great.
You feel great?
I do. I feel great. I've been relaxing. I've been taking some time off. I've been playing some games off stream. I'm actually very excited to come back to streaming Shenmue tomorrow.
Are you sure?
I haven't streamed. Yeah. Good. I'm excited to stream Shenmue tomorrow. I haven't streamed in a while. And that little break, I think, is exactly what I needed. And I'm excited to dive back into where I left off. And yeah. My final thoughts are just, I feel great. I'm excited for streaming, and I'm just loving life right now.
Blue's gonna have a great day.
Yeah, how about you?
I'm actually doing the same. Been relaxing a lot. I'm feeling good, and I'll be there to support you tomorrow, buddy.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Be there to give you shit.
Hey, that's what friends are for. That's what friends are for. I will say, guys, everybody listening, you guys put in a lot of effort for us for this topic, and thank you for sharing all of your top three action-adventure genre games. And thanks to Don Defrag. I'm going to shout out Don Defrag right now. He made a request for community participation topics. Derptaku has created a community topic discussion channel where if you have an idea that you would like us to discuss on our podcast, you have a place to do that now. And we've gotten an overwhelmingly amount of responses, and we are very excited for the future.
Exactly. Very much so. Because now we don't have to come up with topic ideas. You guys are doing the legwork for us. Thanks, guys. You're awesome.
No, he's teasing. We'll still come up with topic ideas. But if you come up with a topic idea, it may be featured in our next podcast. And you guys have come up with some pretty cool ones. And I'm excited to continue to talk more about our love of video games. That's why we're all here. Right, Terp?
Pretty much.
But sadly, we're going to have to end this podcast. But don't worry.
When are we going to be back?
We'll be back at the drop of a paradigm.